This is his 13th yahrzeit. I was listening to a recording of Rav Shlomo Aviner. If you're not familiar with Rav Shlomo Aviner, he is a Rav in Beit El, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Teret Kohanim, a very prominent rabbi in the religious Zionist community. And he was asked, who should the person vote for? It? And answer the question, the very hot topic going on in Israel. If you listen at all, you open your eyes at all, what's going on today, obviously it's election day. So the question was, are you allowed to vote your conscience? Or one must listen to, do you have to listen to what the rabbis tell you to vote for? And he said that, in fact, a person should vote his conscience, should vote what you think is the best party to vote for. And he compared it to a Beis Din. He said, we are like this great Beis Din, this large Beis Din, in which, just like in a Beis Din, every person on the Beis Din is asked to give an opinion on the case. And even if there's a great rabbi who may have already, someone who you know is a greater Talmid Chacham than you, has already given his opinion, your job is not to say, oh, that rabbi is a much bigger Talmid Chacham than I am. He's already said chayev or zakai. He's already said he's guilty or innocent. So who am I to say guilty or innocent? No, your job is to, according to your understanding, to give an opinion. That's your job. You're not supposed to just give an answer because that's what someone who's greater than me gave. And he said, you have to vote according to what you see is best. He says, however, the t'nai is a condition. The condition is that you have to make a decision based on what is the best thing for the Jewish people. That's the condition. A person is not allowed to vote according to what's good for me. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? What am I? Michael Olson, going to get out of this? Maybe if I vote this party because I know this guy, you know, he's going to help me, he's going to help Yeshiva find a new building. He's going to help me get my kid into that school. That's not a reason to vote for that particular person or that particular party. You have to vote, what's the best for the Jewish people? That's the t'nai that you have to have when you vote. That was his opinion. You have to do it. That's by way of hakdam. Last week on Friday was the yahrzeit of the Lelev Rebbe, of David of Lelev, great tzaddik, buried in Lelev in Poland. Last year we were at his kever. The Lelev Rebbe once, maybe before he was Rebbe, I'm guessing it was before he was Rebbe, came into the Beis Medrash late morning, early afternoon, came to the Beis Medrash, holding his tefillin, and he starts unwrapping his talis. To start the daf. And this, the Jew there, probably not of a Hasidish neshama type, and he goes over to him and he says, how dare you start the daven now? Way after Zman Tfila. How dare you start the daven now? He says, I learned 2 hours before Vasikin, and I've learned 6 hours since. And now you're starting your day? So Lelev says, listen. He goes, if you were learning the shame of Yisrael, if you were learning on behalf of all the Jewish people, so then I've been covered, and I'm learning too. And if you weren't, then your learning is not worth anything. That was his response. Really? I'm not doing it with shame for Israel. If I'm not learning on behalf of the whole Jewish people, so there's no value. That's so. Does that make sense? Another question. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yedala. Philip says, "Who are you, man?" In ein ani li mi li. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? I got to I got to take care of my own business. Right? I got to be for myself. And man, no one's going to take care of it for me. Ukshani lats me, mani. But if I'm for myself, then what am I? Hello? Stira maybe? Right? Contradiction? Should I be for myself? Should I not be for myself? Catching this over? Vicky, you with me? Shani lats me, mani. If I'm for myself, what am I? So am I, should I be for myself? Should I not be for myself? Another question. Why is it that when I daven, and we have davening here in the morning, Baruch Hashem, we daven a million chakras, and I look at Shemona Esrei, and everything is about us. It's about we. There's no I. It's like always Shemona Esrei, or Kayin Tzor, my God, protect me. But until then, it's all about, it's all plural. Why is my private Shemona Esrei? Why am I speaking in a plural language? Why do I speak to God? I'm worried about, I'm in it for myself right now. I'm here for me. Right? I'm pointing out my needs to Hashem, and I have a lot of needs. So it's a very important yisod that we need to understand, which I think is probably the most important thing you're going to hear in the next 15 minutes. Okay. 20 minutes.
What time? 17.
So here's the most important thing you're going to hear. Maybe in the next 15 minutes, that I'm pretty sure about. Maybe the whole year, maybe the rest of your life. And it's not my idea. But it can change your life. If you accept this idea, if you buy into this yisod, which I think is yisod. Maybe call it Torah Kula right here. It will change your life. You will not be the same person you were when you walked in here. And it's a very simple idea. Some of you may be already attuned to this idea. How many of you guys daven in this sort of svar? In it. All right, you move to the Zoom at the time, as I say. Say it before you. No? What do you say?
Kabbalah.
Huh?
Kabbalah. It's about the temple.
And you end off and you say, B'shem Kol Yisrael. That before you do a mitzvah, any mitzvah, before you daven. Okay? Maybe a good idea for somebody to look at this. It's in the Ashkenaz Sfarim also, the Siddurim also. Alright, you move on to the time to say, B'yake, Shchintu, Kushchintu. For another year, not for now. And end up b'shem Kol Yisrael. I'm doing this mitzvah. I'm about to do this davening. I'm doing it b'shem Kol Yisrael on behalf of all the Jewish people. Huh? I'm doing it on behalf of all the Jewish people. I'm about to daven now on behalf of all the Jewish people. Now we are now in the zman we're talking about mitzvahs v'inyan l'chaver. That's what we're talking about. That's what the shmuzim are covering. And this is about really mitzvahs v'inyan l'chaver. But there's a general dichotomy we have in our Torah. We have mitzvahs v'inyan l'chaver, between me and God, and then we have mitzvahs between me and my fellow man. And which one is more important? Which one takes precedence, I should say? Which one takes precedence? Here's where you can join me. You have a conflict. Okay? B'inyan l'chaver or b'inyan l'chaver? Which one do you have to take care of first? Huh? Chavera comes first. Okay, many examples of this. Don't have enough time to go into right now. But let's just say, if you have to, very quick story. Very quick. It's a longer story, but I'll say it very quickly. There was a Jew in Lakewood who happened to be the descendant of Chafetz Chaim, who was made to minyan in yeshiva. And the Mashiach, the Bachfol, went over to him and said, "What's the story here? I don't see the meaning of Shiva, who's an Avraya, he was already married." He said, "You know, I know my intention is to go to davening every morning, but you know what? Every time I'm on the way to davening, there's this woman in the neighborhood, she has three little kids, she has nobody to help her, And I just, on my way to Dominique, I have to give her a hand. I have to help her get the kids out to school, take them. And then by the time I've helped her, minion is over. So I said, okay, I understand so much into you, the nephew of the Chofetz Chaim, the grandson of the Chofetz Chaim, to be concerned for fellow men. Of course, that's excusable. But let me ask you something. We can, you know, let us also help. So women, you know, it doesn't have anything to help her, you know, let's get a few people involved. So who's this woman? Because the woman's my wife. My wife. Helping your wife in the morning takes precedence over Dominique. Now, the poster, if you read the story in one of the Magen quotes, I don't remember which one, which volume it is, or Schneider probably tell you which book it's in. But the postscript that the Rebbe Zalman adds in is that, but you should know that he went to Dov and did another minyan. You know, don't think he didn't catch another minyan. So I asked Rav Shechter, Rebbe, is this so? So I don't know whether he davened a minyan or not. But what would happen if he didn't have another minyan to go to? This was the only minyan in town, and he had a choice. Davened a minyan or help his wife. Whatever that's the conflict he is in. What comes first? He goes, Sabanda, yes, to help his wife first. Of course it comes first. We learn it from Al-Kamir. Of course it comes first. And no suffering. Even if he went down with a minyan, that comes first. Benonah Torah comes first. However, the truth is, my friends, every mitzvah I say that we do, even Benonah Malachim, is also Benonah Torah. Every Benonah Malachim is also Benonah Malachim, certainly. Every mitzvah we have between us and our fellow man is also obviously commanded by God. It's also Benonah Malachim, certainly. But even the Benonah Malachim has potentially a Benonah Torah element. And this is if you do it, b'shem kol Yisrael. When I do a mitzvah, am I doing it just for me? For me? I want to get brownie points for me? Or am I doing it b'shem kol Yisrael? That, if you do a mitzvah b'shem kol Yisrael, it's a different mitzvah. And here's the yisod. The yisod is that Jewish people were created as one entity. It's not only Jewish people, it's mankind. God created the world. We read about the creation of the world in Sefer Bereishis. And the pinnacle of all creation is man. Man, according to the Sifrei Sfar HaKadosh, the Arizal and others, man has, when he was created, all the Marisha, has an element of Yisrael in him. Meaning that all of creation is really part. Is represented by mankind. He's the pinnacle of all creation. There's what's called a concept of Yisrael. When God created the world, it was things that were created before creation. There were six things the Medrash says that actually existed before creation, before Bereishis brought the Shemayim to this Haaretz. And the original idea, the concept that existed before all others, was the concept of Yisrael. I used to teach in the yeshiva, and coincidentally, on the parochas of that yeshiva, of that arachos, that yeshiva, it says, "Bishvil Yisrael shenikra reishis." That's what it says on that parochas. Bishvil Yisrael shenikra reishis. The reishis for Elohim. God created the world for Yisrael. We are the pinnacle of creation. We are the pinnacle of creation. That is, everything is included in Yisrael, which means that when there's one neshama called Yisrael, Rabbi Salvation calls it Knesset Yisrael, others call it Nishmat Yisrael, Rabbi Kook calls it Nishmat Yisrael, Nishmat Yisrael. There is a concept that we're all part of one thing. And when man sinned, when Adam Rishon sinned, so he lost that aspect of Yisrael in him. And what was the cause of sin? Is that He didn't think about all of creation. He thought about himself. It was what's in it for me. Sin, in its essence, is when a person is worried about himself. He's concerned for his own pleasure, his own ego. It's me. It's about me. The hefet, the opposite of sin, is when one is not concerned about himself, but sees himself as part of the flock, as part of the tzibur, as part of the Jewish people, as part of the nishma Yisrael. Now, when other nations said, he lost that aspect of Yisrael in him, and then he went to hiding, so to speak. Right? I don't have time to go into this so deeply. And then it re-emerges with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov bubbles and reaches once again its pinnacle of expression when we come to Har Sinai, Jewish people emerging from Yitzchak Yitzchak, come to Har Sinai, and we become again one Chativa, Nishma Israel. And now we're all dependent on each other. Everything, we're part of one. Again, the essence of sin is when you only worry about yourself, when it's me. And you become disconnected from that whole. And the way a person is supposed to serve Hashem is with trying to latch on to the source of Nishma Yisrael, that source of oneness of all of us that are in it together. That's being loyal to the bris, to the covenant of the Jewish people. That we have a covenant with each other, and obviously with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm saying a lot of ideas in a very quick manner. It needs to be fleshed out more, and I don't have enough time, or Shul won't give me more time. But you see, this is the yisod, my friends, of how one is supposed to serve Hashem. He's supposed to serve Hashem b'shem kol Yisrael. Not just about me. And a person can be involved in spiritual matters. He can be focusing on developing himself spiritually, but only worried about himself. It's not it. It's not it. He lacks the kiyum of the mitzvah properly when he's focusing only on himself. If he's not doing it b'shem kol Yisrael, doesn't have value. It's only about me. So great, you may be becoming a better person in theory, but if that's your focus isn't on all of this, it's a larger focus, it's not it. Now take it one step deeper is that when we're created in some location, we're created in God's image. God, by definition, is the ultimate giver. God receives nothing. All of His creations are, by definition, receivers. We receive from God. We're on the receiving side. But man is half, he has a nefesh benemis, he has an animal part of himself, which is the part he receives, but he has neshama that's b'tzelem elokim. That's where b'tzelem elokim is, it's neshama. He's supposed to be God-like. He is God-like. God-like means that I am a giver. That means I am looking to give. Halakha v'drafa, we're supposed to walk in God's ways, means that I'm supposed to be concerned about the other more than I'm concerned about myself. That means that ma'hu rachum ha'fatarach, ma'hu chananah ha'tachanah. I'm compassionate, I'm giving, I'm merciful. These are all expressions. Ma'hu mevakir kolam ha'fatam mevakir kolam. Ma'hu kolam ha'fatam mevakir kolam. You're supposed to be giving towards others, just like God. That's what God is. That's being God-like. That's what we're supposed to be. That's our main conflict, is to be God-like. That's how we get close to God. That's vidavaktavo. The Vedas Vashem is when you are God-like, you can then become closer to Him. Which means that I'm supposed to be giving towards others. Not what's in it for me. That's the shame place from. When I do a mitzvah, I'm supposed to do the shame place from. Now that takes on a totally different meaning. Now back to our mission of Pekei Avos. It ain't immediately healing. I can't rely on others to do my job. I have to get to Shabbos in the morning. I have to get to Shabbos. No one else is going to do it for me. No one else is going to drag me out of bed but me. The Madrid may knock on my door. It may not knock on my door. It doesn't make a difference. It may not kneeling. I have to do it. It's my own responsibility. But if I do it just for myself, then I am nothing. I am a big fat zero that I was when I came here. But I'm only doing it for myself. Now that takes on a totally different responsibility. That I have to get it not only for myself. I have to get it because I'm worried about all my friends. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about the entire Jewish people. I'm worried about all of creation. I'm worried about the creator of all creation. I'm doing it for Shem Kol Yisrael. When I walk in through those doors in the Beit Midrash, I push those doors, I'm coming in for Shem Kol Yisrael. I'm coming on behalf of all Jewish people, not just myself. That's a big responsibility. If a guy is going to the army to fight for Israel, and he's doing it b'shem kol Yisrael, he's doing it on behalf of Jewish people, he's willing to give his life on behalf of Jewish people, he's on a much higher level than someone who's just sitting and learning, but just for himself. Just for himself. I'm not doing it on behalf of Jewish people, I'm doing it for myself. But if a person is learning the Shem Kol Yisrael, Rabbi Salas, Tom Tar, if he's learning the Shem Kol Yisrael, if I'm doing my Avodas Hashem, the Shem Kol Yisrael on behalf of the entire Jewish people, that's a higher level. That's an even greater. That's the opportunity that you guys have every single day. You have an opportunity to daven 3 times a day in the yeshiva, to learn 3 stars a day. And you have an opportunity to do b'shem kol Yisrael. You know what you're doing for Jewish people? You know what you're doing for God? There's nothing greater. But if you're doing it just for yourself, forget about it. Not even talking about things that are just for yourself, that are outside of this ministry. If you're spending your year and you're doing it to go out and hang out for yourself when you could be learning, I'm not even talking about that. That's less than zero. That's less than zero. But you have the opportunity to be in Beis Medrash, to double the minyan, and do b'shem kol Yisrael. You have a tremendous responsibility. How can you pass that up?
How much time do I have left, Rabbi? So when I was shot in bed, there was a guy shot out, and the yeshiva's name was Mati Hornstein. He's a son of the Rav. And Mati Hornstein went to NTA, very bright guy. Went 1 year to yeshiva, and then he went to Harvard. And tragically, he was killed in a freak accident, Erev Yom Kippur. A month into his stay in Harvard. And actually, if you have friends in Chalgam, so they're part of the Mati Hornstein overseas program. Named after him. Some of you may know his brother, lives in the Manan, I believe, Avi Hornstein. So Mati Hornstein, and of course I couldn't find it this morning, he wrote his last essay, which they found on his computer by his roommate. Which they shared with us right after the live. We was now in town, Pennsylvania, and Erev Yom Kippur right there. And I wish I had the exact text, and I'll try to find it. I actually made a phone call to somebody, but the fact that we didn't get here in time. But basically, he wrote an essay on why he chose to come to Harvard and why he is choosing the major that he chose. And the major he was choosing at that time was economics. And basically, what he wrote was is that he chose economics. Economics is a very warm place in my heart. He chose economics because he felt that an education economics would allow him to be the best member of Knesset.
Where he felt he could make the best contribution to the Jewish people.
And he said, but that may change next week. That's what he wrote. If I, you know, that could all change next week. If, you know, meaning his intention was that if something else I felt would be better for the Jewish people, that's what I did. Everything changed from that.
We had a person here who went. Let me get to my colleague.
Person who lived his life. This shame called Israel. What am I going to do to Jewish people? That's how he chooses his major. Where am I going to make the most money? He didn't go to Harvard because it's going to look the best on his resume to get into a prestigious law school so I can become partner and have a beautiful home. That wasn't his purpose, that wasn't his goal. His goal is to shame called Israel. What can I do to Jewish people?
Don't count this. He lived his life the same way. I mentioned to you last week in the question and answer, my father went to Cornell. He was 16 years old when he went to Cornell. He went in 1956. He was part of a group that founded an idea that was way ahead of their time. He was part of this group, the original group that founded the Young Israel of Cornell. See, Matthew's here, it's bad. AY's not here. But now it's called the Center for Jewish Living. I'm not sure what it's called. Are you living there?
Yeah, I was there for a week.
Okay, you're going to the next year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So, the Young Israel Cornell preceded the Center for Jewish Living. It was the first idea, it was the first one of a concept. The idea was to establish young Israels in different college campuses across the United States. And he was I don't know if it was the first year or the second year, he was the president of this Young Israel Cornell. And there was a group of Orthodox Jews that had their own house, kosher kitchen, a shul, had a minyan, food. And it was before Hillel, it was before, you know, the JLIs and the various, it was a very new concept. And what's interesting is that it never took off to any other university. That Young Israel Cornell was the only Young Israel on a college campus. And he was part of this group that organized it. Eventually, it still exists in a different name, it's not only Young Israel, but they had
the head was only men. At the time, probably weren't so many Orthodox Jewish women at the time in Cornell. But even if there were, I don't know, women were allowed to become members in the 60s, not lived there yet. In the 70s, they started to live in the same building. But he was 16 years old, went to Cornell, he was 17. He was president of the Jewish Cornell. And then subsequently, wherever my father lived, he was involved. Every shul that we dominated. And growing up, I basically went to two shuls. We were in Queens, we went to the Arizona Spring Valley, and then we went to Lawrence, we were in Lawrence Cedars. And my father was very involved. He was the president of the Arizona Spring Valley, he was the president of the Lawrence Cedars. It wasn't because he didn't look good on his resume. It wasn't because he wanted to cover. Far from it. And anyone who knows, anyone who's been a son or president of a shul knows that there's no cover that you get from being a shul. Because the job needs to be done. It's not about me. It's about Jewish people. Again, I don't have time to go into other things that he was involved with, but that's the message that he gave us. I saw my brothers. That's the message I'd like to impart onto you. As Rav Avinu said, we're like a bezin. Every one of us is like a bezin. Those of us have the privilege to vote in Israeli elections today. And to think about it is an unbelievable zchus. It's a dream of a thousand of years that we can choose our own leaders. People can choose their own leaders. You can't do it in America. You can't choose Jewish leaders in America. Maybe one but our own Jewish being led sovereignty, own Jewish sovereignty, that's tremendous that we have. Avocher Bano Yisrael Be'ahava said this morning. You can be bocher in our fellow Jews with love. And this is a day of divisiveness. You hear a lot of divisiveness, a lot of rhetoric that is not necessarily becoming of Jewish people. It's Lahatha, but it's all like Jewish people. But we have the opportunity, as like we're members of a Bezdin, to choose who we feel is the best representation for us. But I have to be B'Shem Kol Yisrael. And the truth is, even though most of you guys are not voting today, but you have to live your lives as if you are a member of the Bezdin. You are a representative of the Jewish people. We all have to live our lives. And whatever choice I make in my life, it has to be B'Shem Kol Yisrael. It has to be, what is the best choice for the Jewish people? When you're a Jew, there's no such thing as making a choice as an individual. I'm not a separate entity. I'm not an independent entity. I do not have the right to make a decision, any decision in my life. If it's a decision to what I'm going to do tonight, if it's a decision about getting up in the morning or not, decision about what I have to work college I'm going to do, it has to be B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Have a good afternoon. Thanks.